Welcome to Bring Something to the Table.
We're your hosts, Shelby
and Leslie.
With our dynamic 20-year age gap, we're here to sprinkle some joy, wisdom, and a little chaos into your life.
Join us on this Denver-based adventure where age is just a number and laughter is our favorite currency.
From tequila-infused conversations to heart-to-hearts about vulnerability, we're here to bring you stories that resonate, insights that enlighten, and maybe even a few laughs along the way.
So grab your favorite drink, get ready to join the party, because this is your VIP ticket to a community where everyone belongs.
Because remember, you always deserve a seat at our table.
Here we are.
All right, it has started.
Cheers to episode one, officially
of Bring Something to the Table. It has been a long time getting here, but we have done it. So we are super excited.
Yeah, we've been through quite the journey with the podcast situation. We started talking about this probably not too long after you and I met back at, when I moved here in 2022.
Yeah.
May of 2022. And then we started recording our own episodes just in like putting them on YouTube in October of last year.
I think it was.
And so ran through that. Leslie's man, boy, what are we calling him? Boyfriend, man friend,
man friend,
other?
Partner.
was like our producer for a while. And then we decided to unburden him because he had to sit here and listen to us like the entire time. And I'm like, this man is going to get sick of it. So we have help otherwise from another company.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just kind of starting from scratch a little bit with that.
Well, fortunately, we've had kind of the practice of talking and getting in that rhythm.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think that, you know, we don't do anything half-assed. And so we were wanting to launch it, just on a professional, leveled up, because that's kind of what Brings Something to the Table is all about in life in general. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing. Episode one, here we are.
And it's never perfect.
No.
So even though we don't, we're trying not to half-ass things. Like one of the episodes that we've recorded that we'll release here soon, like my dog knocked down like the audio thing. And I think that stuff's important to keep in. And just like, I think it's important to talk about like how we started and stuff, because that makes it more attainable for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were just like, all right, well, I know that I pushed you a lot to just start instead of like trying to have stuff like.
Oh, yeah. I have analysis paralysis and things have to be perfect and I get scared. Whereas Shelby's like, let's just jump in and see what happens. And I'd like to embrace that a little bit more when I grow up.
I think both approaches have like their pros and cons for sure. Like mine can get messy. But that's me. I'm just like, I just want to try it and see what happens. And then I think your approach is a little bit more polished. So if we can find a middle ground, which I think we might have.
I think so. It took a little minute, but we're getting there.
Yeah. So we're here on our first official episode. And we're so excited. We're going to release everything or release podcast episodes every other week,
mm-hmm.
at first, see how it goes, see like what we can accommodate, and then maybe it'll be more often. Hopefully it'll be more often.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It is fun. And we have a lot to talk about.
Yes. And I never get to really see you and do this anymore, because that's kind of what started it, is you moved out here and we started doing social things together and realized we had some similar experiences, but different age parts of our life and different stages of ages, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And then had fun and a lot of laughter. And I think at one point when we were house hunting for you, we thought we could put a GoPro on your head. Monitor all the antics that took place.
A lot of antics in the house hunting process and otherwise.
Yeah.
Which we're filming, recording in my house. So that's a full circle moment to acknowledge, I feel. Like, I remember touring this place, sitting on the couch, like, it was still staged, sitting on the couch, their couch, and, like, recording, like, we think, like, we just got through the inspection, like,
yeah,
this is it, and it just has always felt like home, even though my car just got hit in the street and riffraff ensues a lot out and about. But I love this place. So I think it's cool that we're recording in it now.
I know. God, it is a good full circle moment. And I just, I mean, when I think about that and meeting you off of Instagram, which was a whole other story and thing, and then you rented and then you moved out. You were so courageous, Shelby. I mean, I think that's one of the things I just love about your spirit is you're willing to just jump in and see what happens. Maybe it gets messy, but you're living your life. And I envy that a lot. I think it's incredible. So
that's hard for me to not hear, but like, I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's fine. Like everyone does it. And then I feel like I've heard of people taking like what more wild risks. So I'm like, what I did was not that big of a deal, but
you jumped in the car with your amazing fur baby Cash and you drove across country to a city where you didn't know anybody. Yeah. And you have created an incredible life for yourself now. And you bought a house. Like you've done so many things.
Yeah. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
But we're here.
We are here. And then, yeah, I think that's one thing that we kind of bonded over was manifestation out like early on in the process.
Yeah. I don't think like I'm a big vision board gal and like having not like stringent goals, but like I want to have like something to look forward to. So I've never been someone to be like, well, I'm my career and I want to be like a CEO by the time I'm like in my 30s or whatever. Like I thought that's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be like a completely other episode. Like I thought when I was in college, I was like, I'm going to be a marketing executive. Like Samantha Jones from Sex and the City. Like I'm going to be this badass, like not take shit from anybody. And I got the career and worked my way up. And I realized like people that are in those higher positions, that's their life.
Right.
And I like your job's not, they'll let you go in a minute and hire somebody.
Oh yeah. You're so dispensable. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's like guilt and shame, I think, associated with coming to that realization that like, no, I'd rather coast through my job. Hopefully they don't listen to this. Coast, but like I'm still doing a good job at like 20%.
Is yeah.
My coasting is like I'm still like I'm good. So I'm getting that paycheck, but I'm also able to like do other things that I'm actually passionate about, like this. And I don't know why I went down this rant, but that I think was part of like my manifestation and why I moved here. Cause I was like, I just need a fresh start. I had like on my vision board, like a house looks nothing like this house at all. Like I wanted like a cool loft or something with like exposed brick, but
then you came to Denver. So.
Yeah. And then I was like, wait a second, I can't afford this. Can't even afford one brick in that loft. So like I think that's what we're going to be talking about is just like how you can manifest stuff that you want. And it's not like you just write it down and you get it.
No, I think there's so much that goes into that. And, you know, and I think it's a broader picture for some people. I mean, there's some of us who are kind of spiritually oriented who think of manifesting with the universe. And then there's some who pray to God or whomever that deity is for them. And those things happen because I think wherever you're allocating your power and your brain power and your energy, both consciously and subconsciously, you're working toward it. It's not like, I want to be a millionaire. And you write it down, you expect it to happen. There's not a genie in the bottle that's going to pop up and do that. But if you have things written and you are working toward it, or there's a vision board. And I think that's, you know, kind of what happened is we talked about it in 2022. And then we did our vision boards in January of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely one of the things we had on there. It was I had like a speaker and a microphone and you hand wrote podcast.
Yeah.
It was the whole year to get there.
Yeah.
But
there's just so much that goes into it that we didn't realize. We're like, we can just record it on our phones or something. And then, hello, we have microphones. We have stuff like behind here that you can't even see. And I think everything just starts with like an idea and like a yearning, for lack of better words, to do something, to achieve something, to get something that you want. And then it's up to you to like move forward with the steps it takes to get that stuff.
Right. It's like the affirmations almost too. So it's kind of, I think, visualizing. Here's our steps to manifestation. And there are lots of books that are out there, and phenomenal books and workbooks and journals and things like that to help you. Mm-hmm. But I think we've had our own personal experiences of visualizing. Well, first of all, feeling in your heart what it is that you want, whatever realm, if it's health or love or finances, and then visualizing that and then writing down that affirmation, and writing it out is like you're living it now.
Yeah. That's the part, multiple parts, I guess. Like with going back to the career thing, like mm-hmm. I thought I wanted that CEO status or whatever, but like I didn't feel that in my heart. So I could have written that down. I could have like tried to get there.
Right.
I could have gotten there, but I would have felt so unfulfilled because like that's not what I truly wanted.
It wasn't true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to do things like through that and through like healing, whatever crap you've been through in your life, and figuring out like what your goals are, not what your parents' goals or like your significant other's goals are. Figuring out what you truly want, I think, is like the biggest step. And we're not taught that. Like in high school, we're not taught that. In college, it's just like you pick a path at the mere age of 18.
I know.
If I was still doing or dating the person I was dating at 18, or like living the same lifestyle I was when I was 18, I'd probably be dead or like in jail or something. I don't know. So the fact that our society like makes us choose like our path
mm-hmm.
for the next 4 years at the age of 18 is insane to me.
It's impossible to know what you want to do.
Yeah.
And we should be growing and evolving. And that's the same thing with manifestation, right? Like where you are in your life at 25, if you want something, you want to visualize your home, or you want a certain car, or take a trip to India, or whatever it might be. And then at 30, you revamp that, or every year, and revamp it to your new manifestation of what you want, so that you're always growing and evolving.
Yeah. And I think also being gentle with yourself. Like, I think you brought up grace during one of our other conversations, and like giving yourself grace to change those wants and not feel guilty about mm-hmm. not wanting the huge house and the big family, and like actually wanting to like travel instead, and maybe like paint instead of sitting in a computer all day. So mm-hmm. like trying your best not to feel a certain way about being outside of the norm, I think is a big part of it too. Or at least it was for me.
Yes. Well, I think that being your best, healthiest, authentic self, whatever that might be, however you are true to yourself and how you show up, then you can be your best self for other people.
Yeah.
And be there for them, or to support them, or, you know, attract more of those like-minded people into your life.
Yeah.
But if you're living a lie, or you're pretending to be somebody that, you know, society wants you to be, but it's not in your heart, it's not in alignment with the universe either. And so things just won't move forward. And I think that things are in flow when you are kind of evolving to be the person you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We are all, I think, bright lights that are here to help one another. I mean, there's some people that are relearning lessons and
over and over, over again and over until you get the point. Which, like, we talk about this stuff, but we obviously don't have our shit together fully. And we never will. Like, that's I've come to grips with the fact that, like, sometimes my house is dirty, and no matter how much like I try and focus on cleaning it, there's gonna be dog hair, and like nothing's ever gonna be perfect in my relationships, friendships, whatever. Like everything is a constant work in progress, and you just have to like be okay with that and realize like that's just life. That's showbiz, baby.
That is just life. And I think I'm coming to the point in my life also where people like perceive me in a certain way, but then those who know me or come into my house that is like a constant shit show of piles of stuff realize, oh, she does not have her life like perfectly.
No one does.
Figured out. And I'm okay with that. Now. Yeah.
I think people that aren't honest about that, like we've talked about like aesthetic stuff, like what we've done to our faces mm-hmm. and like things that we do to make ourselves feel better. I think that when people put on a front, which I think we see a lot on social media, when they're just like, here's my highlight reel and that's it. I feel like there are two different sides to it. Cause then people like post themselves crying and like, that's not my thing. It's a bit much. But I just don't think, like, that's not authentic.
Right.
And people are starting to realize that and see through it. And hopefully it'll change, I feel like, soon. But what we're here to do is to show that, like, things aren't perfect, but you can still thrive and, like, look good and be happy and attract those same kinds of people, even though, like, your hair's a mess or something. Or your foot's asleep. Yeah, so.
But it is leveling up. And I think that is kind of where we came to that decision, too, about the name, Bring Something to the Table, because we have realized in our lives that we've had not the right people, not good, supportive, evolving, growth-oriented people in our lives. And we've both had to make the decisions to cut people out because it wasn't healthy.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing, too. It like, is. Figuring out the most simple way that I can think to put it is, and I feel like I talked about this in the past too, but like Glennon Doyle's book Untamed, where her son was like, her son or daughter was saying like, oh, I really want to try out for this sport because my sister wants me to, because my friends want me to. And Glennon was like, well, what do you want? And they were like, not to do that. Like, I'd rather like go to into math club or something, read the book because I'm completely butchering this. But she said, well, would you rather live with disappointing these other people or would you rather live with disappointing yourself? So you always, I always try and go back to like when I'm making a big decision or I'm realizing that someone's not for me, like, am I hanging out with this person because I don't want to make them feel bad? Or am I hanging out with them because I genuinely like their company? And if it's the first one, what? What am I doing? Like, why am I wasting my precious time making myself feel bad when someone, I don't even, maybe I don't even want to be there. I don't know. So I go on these rants, but it's like sticking up for yourself and what you want and trying not to overanalyze like how it's going to affect another person.
Yes. So I think that's a good kind of circling back to being clear on your heart as you try to manifest what it is that you want. I mean, I know I've had success with vision boards and manifestation and being clear. How about you? Do you want to share an example of something that you've done?
Some of the vision board stuff has come true, but like not exactly, which I think plays into you revamping what you actually want, what your heart wants. But there is this like concept of like 369 manifestation. And I know there are books out there and I'm sure it's like on TikTok and everything. But the way that I practiced that based on like the stuff that I read was that you have this thing that you want, this mantra, this sentence, like you have to keep it short. It can't be like paragraphs and stuff. And you write it 3 times in the morning, then you write it down 6 times in the afternoon, and then 9 times at night. And you do that every day. It's like in that sequence for however long it takes. I don't think there's like a specific time limit. I did try it once and one time only because I was talking to this guy and I really wanted him to like text me back and actually like ask me to hang out, which apparently is really hard for guys to do these days. Yes. And it didn't work. However, I think that's because that wasn't meant for me. Like he was a complete jack wagon. Like he wasn't my guy.
Right.
I shouldn't be at the point where I'm so desperate. I'm writing this stuff down just to like hope and will somebody to like text me back.
Well, and that's because that's kind of superficial, right? Like you didn't even really know him. And that was one particular person. Which, yes, I think the universe has protected you. We probably dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Which is different than I would like to have a partner in this part of time of my life that meets this criteria.
Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about just the other day, like, my manifestation's gone wrong because I'm not being as specific as possible. And, like, I can laugh at him now, but I'm just like, all right, I get it. Like, I need to be very specific with this thing that I'm asking for because, like, I'm going to get it. So I need to know what I want before I, like, put that out into the universe.
Yes. And I don't And again, it's like superficial things like, I want a guy who's, you know, 32 and 6 foot and makes X amount of dollars. But what about the important things about who the essence is of that person?
Yeah. His characteristics, his, mm-hmm. what he wants in life and like how he treats other people. And that's the stuff that I haven't really focused on. I think when I had my most recent flounder of a manifestation, I was driving home one night and I was just like, all right, I'm ready for a partner. Like, I'm ready for him to like come into my life. And that was it. And then the next day, I don't know how detailed I should get, but like the next day I found out my neighbor and his girlfriend, they currently live together, broke up, and he was like interested in me or something because of conversations that happened previously. And he just got the wrong idea. But I was like, wait a sec, that's not what I wanted.
It's not what you wanted. And I would say, I mean, looking at you and your free spirit and the fact that you are so independent on certain things, mm-hmm. I would look at, what will that partner bring to the table for you? Like, we can go on travel adventures together, or do home projects together. He's also independent and lets me do my own thing, because I can't see you just giving all of your time and energy to someone who still has such a robust, independent life.
Yeah.
That needs to be somebody who complements that and understands it and doesn't, you know, try to tame you.
Mm-hmm.
That would stifle you.
Which is completely different than what I wanted a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to be obsessed with somebody and wanted to like give all my time to them. So that goes into like shifting your, how things that you want change as you.
Well, that's not healthy. Giving all of your time and attention to one person. And nobody wants that. Ew. I don't want somebody. I do not want to be responsible for somebody else's happiness. I have lived Correct. That before, and you can never fill that person's bucket.
No.
So I will not do that again.
I like when people are obsessed with me.
You do like it?
I like it. To an extent, I like it. Like, as long as I'm interested in them too. But I know that it's not something that's like sustainable.
It's not sustainable. That chemical crazy attraction.
Yeah.
God, it feels amazing, but it is not healthy.
No, I just like the attention, and I'm fully aware of that. And I know that like, it's not something that I should be focusing on, like looking for in a person, because I know it fizzles out and then you're left with this person that you don't really know or maybe like outside of like the first couple weeks of like dating, if you would call it that.
Yeah.
So yeah, be very specific with your manifestations, as specific as you can be. Making sure that like it's coming from your heart and like your actual real desires.
And writing down, living that now, I am healthy, and you know, whatever that might be, if your goal is to run a marathon, and then visualize that. I've had that experience multiple times in my life where I wanted a job, or I wanted to get married or whatever it was. And I visualized it specifically, and is there something about the subconscious part that it?
I think when you put it out there and like you have that in your brain, then you're looking for opportunities to make it happen.
Right.
Like I just got offered. I wonder if I told you this. I got offered a job at that fitness studio obsessed with.
Oh, that's so great.
And I had just, I think I was not actively looking. But one day I was just like, I'm going to message them on Instagram. Like, I just took a class there. I'm like hyped.
Of course you did. You just take these chances all the time and it works out for you.
I know. Well, not all the time. But I was like, hey, I know this is a long shot, but I love you guys. I love the vibe. I love working out here. Like, are you ever hiring for like a front desk person? And they were like, yeah, let's meet. Chatted with them. And it's going to happen at the end of the month.
Love it. That's fantastic.
We'll see how it goes. But like, I was like, I think the top level, like manifestation part of that was that I wanted to have such a fabulous friend group now, mm-hmm. but I want to keep meeting people and I want to extend that. And I want to like do more things besides like going out and drinking, which like I love, but I know I want more. And I think that was like, that's how this job thing like manifested from that. It was like, mm-hmm. here's the opportunity to like be part of a new community.
Love it. And I'll say my most recent manifestation was after having gotten divorced for the second time, and then kind of dating for 2 years, and then had a 6-month relationship with somebody, where every time, I mean, I like the dating aspect because you learn more about what you want mm-hmm. and more about yourself. And so after that relationship, I realized what was really important to me. And so I spent a day kind of tweaking and revising what I wanted in a partner. And so I wrote that finally at 9:02 p.m. on October 5th, and then met my partner on October 9th. And he fits all of those criteria. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, you read that to me the other day. And it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, but cool.
Crazy, but cool. But it took a while to get there. And it was even just a full day of like, no, I don't need this. No, I don't want that. Here is what's really important to my heart and my soul.
Yeah.
And moving forward. I mean, I'm 54 and my things are changing. Like, we're getting older. So having somebody who's a great partner where the crazy attraction and chemistry, that came for sure once we started dating a little bit. It wasn't there in the beginning, but our genuine friendship and support and love for one another, an understanding of both of our like health issues and whatever, like it's a solid bond. And that's mm-hmm. what's important for me now moving forward.
Yeah. Which like is fun to think about. Fun and like, I'm scared is not the right word, because like when you were dating that other guy who sucked.
Nobody liked him.
No, he's a loser. He came into your life for a reason, yes. Whatever. You learned from that.
He was a fine person. He was not abusive or anything. He was hands down the world's worst communicator. And the funny thing is that I had brunch with a girlfriend about a week. Oh, no, the same day I was supposed to meet him. And so she asked, what's happening in your world? Sidetrack again. And I was like, hey, I just clicked with this guy on Bumble or whatever, and gave a brief description. And she said, oh, my God, is it so-and-so? And I said, yes, it is. Here's a picture. And she goes, welcome to the world's worst communicator.
Oh, no.
And so she had dated him the summer prior. Not quite as long as I did, but
long enough.
And I kind of thought, oh no, he can't be a bad communicator. Oh Lord. But I learned a lot, and I learned a lot about Enneagrams during that time too. That's a whole other probably topic, but
yeah,
I did the Enneagram test and realized what he was. And anyway.
And you realized that like people aren't for you. Now it gave you the knowledge and experience to be like, okay, next time around, like I'll know quicker, like whether I'm willing to tolerate this kind of behavior.
Right. Cause nothing's perfect. And so there's some things to compromise on.
Yeah.
Work through or whatever, but you have to communicate. That is what I learned.
I require
communication.
Yeah. I think everyone does to different degrees, of course, but like the fact that there are still people out there that like can't communicate their feelings or like what they want or their love languages or whatever. Right. Maybe it's because I'm 35, but I'm like, get it together. Know yourself. You know, you love like a tequila soda with lemon on the side instead of lime. Know like what your love language is. Grow up. And like that guy was your age, right? In his 50s?
Yes.
So it's
no, but was act like stunted. I mean, granted, he was married for 20 years. So I think he was just stunted as like a 25-year-old. And I don't know. Or perhaps that's why, whatever, it doesn't matter. Yes. But I think it's, well, that's a whole other topic. Dating in your 30s and just the instant gratification and the swiping because there's always another person. So yes, dating apps will be another.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that because I'm getting back into the world of dating. And I know I've been against getting back on the apps, but like I'm starting to consider it again.
Okay.
And I'm mulling over that because I think it might just be because I want the instant gratification and the attention because I'm not getting it out in the wild. Like no one comes up to me and my friends and talks to us. Like what is going on?
Well,
no,
we're kind of an intimidating group of beautiful, energetic, fabulous, gregarious ladies.
Well, then I don't want a guy in my life who doesn't have the balls to come up to a group of girls. I don't know. That's a whole other topic, but we'll talk about that.
Huh. So we'll wrap that up with the manifestation because we did. I think we manifested this. We really wanted it to happen. It took longer than we thought. So don't expect something to materialize in a week. This took months.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
And some evolving. And I think we're good now. And we are so happy to do this. It's a little pet project of mine. I feel like I have to be a certain way in my work world. And I love that I can just be myself. Although my niece, I guess, my 14-year-old niece, just subscribed to our podcast. So I told my sister she might learn things about me. She doesn't.
I just said balls. Is that okay?
I said, well, at least I'm the cool aunt. So if she feels like she can't talk to her mom, she can always come and talk to me. Because
that's true. I'm pretty sure like my aunts will subscribe to this, like one in particular, and my cousins. And we're going to be talking about some stuff, but like, I think that's just life. And I would love for them to like know that, know me more in depth than like just those high level conversations that we have with family. So
yeah,
I think it's great. We're here to just like show everybody that like, you're not alone.
No.
And your journey is like, and your the shit show of life, whether you're dating or you're buying a house or like your dog is causing a ruckus in the backyard. Like, we've all been through it. So hopefully these conversations resonate with people and make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. And I think that was part of the whole purpose between us is the generational gap. It doesn't matter if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s. And I have a girlfriend in her 60s who wants to join us. Like, we all go through the same stuff in some way or another. It's just a varying degrees of heaviness or whatever.
Yeah.
And you got to have a sense of humor. We love to laugh. And we like tequila. So
yeah, so this will be...
This is not. But
no, this is coffee and water. So next time.
We'll do that next time.
Yeah. But we're so happy to be here and so glad you, whoever's listening, if there's anyone out there, we're so glad you're here and we'll see you next time.
And just know that you always have a seat at our table.
Always.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap of another episode of Bring Something to the Table.
We hope you enjoyed diving into the wild world of candid conversations with us.
Remember, you can catch all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform.
And if you love what you heard, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Your support means the world to us.
So until next time, keep embracing the messiness of life, keep seeking those shared experiences, and always remember,
you deserve a seat at our table.
Bye.
Bye.